Russell Milton, right? He's sitting there listening to this. He must be thinking, who the hell are these clowns that I talk to every week regarding the English Premier League? It's been a dramatic week there as well. I wonder what his buffet system looks like at the Bellagio or somewhere else. Russell, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you? You both well?
We're going well, mate. We are well. Hope you are too. Are you a buffet sort of fella, Russ?
I've been known in the past, yeah. I mean, our pre-match meal with the football team turns into a buffet for the staff, that's for sure. You know, the players are sitting there having their pre-match ritual and the staff are stuck in and keep going up. So, yeah, I don't mind a pre-match meal at the hotel. But, yeah, I'm actually going out for a buffet. I haven't done that for a while. And I think with the situation where it is now, I don't think it's going to be... I think it's a thing of the past, isn't it?
Well, that's right. We're
no, don't say that.
We're lamenting the demise of the buffet.
I know.
We're lamenting big time over here at the moment. Whitey's sort of in grieving with one of the big chains. It's finished up on the back of it. But just on the team situation, Russ, do you have to alter the way that you eat and you prepare meals for the players when you're on the road?
I mean, we're not on the road that much because, you know, the higher you go, they stay away overnight all the time, even at home games. But we have a thing where you get over 3 hours travelling, then we'll be an overnighter. So I think we've got six or seven of those. Apart from that, you know, we'll be travelling up on the day. So, and we have a pre-match meal before about 3-4 hours before the kick-off, and we'll have a meeting. And then obviously if we go in overnight, we'll get up there reasonable time in the day before the game and have a meal, have a laugh, you know, and sing songs that we've talked about before, come out and do stories and then, prepare for as normal on the day of the game. So at our level, it's not too prevalent, but the higher you go, yeah, they're away all the time and in hotels and whatever. But at the minute, no, not too bad at the minute.
Now, Russ, when we get to the action on the pitch as opposed to the buffet, there's been some remarkable outcomes across the weekend. We were watching with jaws open, hanging very, very low yesterday when we saw the Aston Villa-Liverpool scorelines just trickling through the morning. Quite unbelievable that this all-conquering Liverpool team got absolutely schooled by Villa to the tune of 7-2.
Amazing. Well, that afternoon yesterday, Sunday, I've never seen an afternoon like it, and we'll probably never see an afternoon evening like it again, I think. You know, certainly with the teams involved, you know, United letting ticks in against Scotland, a little one for Whitey there, and then Villa, you know, who just stayed up last year by the skin of their teeth, so at one point beating Liverpool 7-2. So I watched my boys under six team on Saturday, and there was more defensive structure in that than there was in Liverpool's team. It was unbelievable. I didn't know what. No word of a lie, it could have been 20. I don't know if you've seen the highlights, but Aston Villa just absolutely ran riot. Grealish, Ross Barkley, who they just signed on loan from Chelsea, were fantastic. And Liverpool, I just like they lost all sense of how to defend. You know, Van Dijk, people like that who've been absolute rocks for them all last season. Just, there was just nowhere to be seen. And Aston Villa just kept getting in behind them, playing balls down the side. But yes, they did have a little bit of luck with a couple of deflections, but... young Ollie Watkins, they've signed from Brentford, scored a hat-trick and, you know, come up against him a few times when he was at Exeter. And then he's got sold to Brentford, and then he went from Brentford in the summer, you know, a couple of months ago to Aston Villa. So, great for Aston Villa fans. There's a lot around this area, around the sort of Midlandy, Cheltenham area. A lot of Villa fans, they'll come out of the woodwork. But it was a real one for the Premier League as well, I think. I think, you know, we've been talking about all the goals going in, haven't we? But, you know, for Liverpool to concede 7 and United to concede 6, I think, is really giving the Premier League a lift.
Was there an explanation given by Jurgen Klopp as to why it happened? Because, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday. I was watching the game yesterday morning, our time, and Jurgen was out on the pitch after the game high-fiving all the Aston Villa players, almost sort of saying, you guys were fantastic. Like, well done. But for a team that... you know, struggled to stay up in the competition last year in Aston Villa, to do that to the champions just is just remarkable. What was there a reason given?
Well, you saw him straight after the game. He just said to, you could see, you know, the lip reading on it. You could see that he said to Dean Smith, he just went, wow, you know, that they, he didn't really, he went round in circles and talked in riddles, I think. He just said it was one of those games, it can happen. Yes, you know, they were imperious last year, weren't they, Liverpool? But barely let any goals in. And then all of a sudden, I think it's one of those, when your team has an off day, I mean, you know, we talked about Cheltenham, didn't we, in the playoff game. You know, we all had an off day, all 11 players, and there's not a lot you can do about it. If it happens, it's just weird. It's just strange. And, you know, when Liverpool got back to 2-1, you thought, oh, here we go, you know, normal service is going to be resumed, but it just didn't happen. Villa, fair play to them, just kept going at them, creating chance after chance and cutting through them. And sometimes, some days it happens. It's really hard to put your finger on it. And when all 11 players decide not to turn up, but don't turn up, and you know, another team takes advantage of it, there isn't a lot you can do as a coach, really. And I think he's going to have a look at it. Of course he will. But, you know, it might be one of those where treat it probably as a one-off and just go, right, let's put that to bed, because, you know, you start talking to one player, you're going to have to talk to 15 players, 14 players, and you could be there all week, and they haven't got that time to do it now because the season's so condensed.
Yeah, so then if we flip across to the Manchester United game where they were beaten soundly by Tottenham, 6-1. Now, we're not worrying about... We don't need to worry about Tottenham. Tottenham's just sitting back just in a really relaxed fashion at the moment. They're scoring goals at will, so we don't need to worry about Tottenham. But with Gareth Bale to come back after the international break, so it's just going beautifully. But
he's washed up, he's done.
But from a Manchester United, you know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer just can't seem to just get it to work for Manchester United. They have a result like that. Does that put pressure on him, or is it still too early in the season for that to build? Because, as I said, this isn't a new thing with United.
Yeah, it was a big debate after the game. You know, the pundits in the studio were talking about it, and Gary Neville was quite vociferous about it. He said, and I agree, actually, he thinks Ole should be given more time. He thinks that he ended... You know, after when they come back from lockdown, they ended very well and they ended up third, which I thought, yes, he did get the maximum out of that squad then. But they haven't recruited, I think, which is massively, you know, important. They're just in the process of signing a couple today. Telles, is it? The left back is coming from Porto, around about £14 million. They do need to strengthen up in defence. They signed a midfielder from Ajax, Donny van der Beek, is it? Probably not what they need. They've got five or six number 10s in midfield players. They definitely need a centre-back or two. And they're about to sign Edison Cavani, I think. So I think you've got to give him time. They, you know, once Sir Alex Ferguson left, they didn't give David Moyes enough time. They didn't give Louis van Gaal enough time. He just won a trophy, then he left. Mourinho said this is a tough job. They didn't back him when he probably needed it a bit more. He'd just won the Europa League, didn't he, and finished second. So... You know, and then Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's come in, initially a good turnaround, had a slump. Now they picked up again at the end of last season. And I think, you know, if they can get these one or two players in that they're after, give them a little bit of time, see where it is, I think, and then get to January, you know, and if they're in and around it, which they should be, you know, with any sort of play and structure to their game, I think give them till January, see what happens, and then assess from there. But there does need to be a big overhaul in some of the staff there. I think they've got too many. They're a bit lopsided, certainly midfield. They've got too many midfield players, and they definitely need a defender or two to bolster it up. And as you can see, Tottenham, as you said, well, quite rightly, Tottenham did run right. The United went down to 10 men, didn't they? 2-1, and that was it. Then Son and Kane were unbelievable, which they can do to any team. So they look quite good to Tottenham, but United have certainly got to up their game quite a bit.
I wouldn't get too excited about Tottenham sitting sixth on the table, not even in Europe at the moment, so they're a pretty disappointing team. Now, Leicester City went down to West Ham 3-0 as well on the weekend. I mean, Leicester, we spoke about them and we sung their praises last week, Russ. We might be the kiss of death for some of these teams because they got pantsed as well by West Ham. How'd that happen?
I know. Well, West Ham had lost their first two. Now they've won their last two, so they've picked up really well. Michel Antonio was very good for them. Yesterday and Leicester, yeah, you wouldn't have seen this one coming. I think this would have been a real coupon buster for people that have a little flutter on it. But it was a strange one. Leicester was a strange one. You know, they could have been top of the league if they'd have won. You know, above Everton. You look at the top three there now: Everton, Aston Villa, Leicester City. You know, great for the Premier League, isn't it? I know it's early days, and you know you're only three or four games in. But I would expect Leicester and Everton to be in and around it because I think they've got a real good squad. I would say it's a bit of a blip for Brendan Rodgers and his Leicester side because, you know, Jamie Vardy had a few chances and it could have been 5-5 this game. It was, you know, end-to-end, it was good. And West Ham certainly caused an upset there. So that's what West Ham are like. I think they'll pull out results that you don't think they're gonna get. If you looked at their first 7, 6, 7, 8 games, you know, you couldn't see them getting any points from them. But you know, they've beaten Wolves 4-0, who are a decent side, and then they beat Leicester away 3-0. So, but like I say, I think the Premier League's going to pull up a load of strange results this season. And I think one of the factors that we didn't mention in was the fact that there was no real pre-season in between the seasons. You know, we had a late finish and we had an early start, literally 3 or 4 weeks. And I think teams are going to take a little while to get into their groove. And you can catch a few of the big sides on the hop at the minute.
Yeah, well, that was another great result for West Ham, as you say. 41 goals scored across the weekend, Russ. Now, slightly skewed by the performances of Aston Villa and Tottenham, so where we've had 16 goals in the last two games of it, so 25 up until that point. But again, more goals. Are we getting good fan reactions to all this? Is this what we're loving at the moment?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's been needed. I think, you know, they've over the years, the authorities have tried to, you know, be in favour of the attackers. And I think nowadays a lot of teams are playing out from the back, as we said, and getting caught. I mean, certainly Man United went down to 10 men and were still passing the ball around in their box, and Tottenham just went, right, we'll nick it off you and score, which they did on a couple of times. And it's all, it's all pointing towards good, positive, entertaining football with plenty of goals. And I think that's what everybody wants. And, you know, someone like Aston Villa beating Liverpool 7-2, I'm sure they would have loved, you know, 30,000 billions in there to cheer them on, but it wasn't to be. And so hopefully we can get fans back in the stadiums and watching this good football that's going on at the minute.
Well, if they can't get to those games, they'll just go and watch Chelsea. Big 2-0 win over Leighton Orient on the weekend. Well done. Well done, mate.
Yeah, it's good, yeah. We were very good for certainly half an hour, and we got 2 goals up, and then I wouldn't say we didn't probably get out of second gear really after that. You know, no disrespect to Ireland, but we did well. We did what we needed to do after 2-0. You know, long may it continue. We've got a game in 24 hours in the cup against Plymouth, and then we've got Crawley at home Saturday. So you know, we're a game behind, but we're in 8th at the minute. So could see us right in there if we win that one.
8-7 this week at home for the mighty Cheltenham this weekend in League 2 in the English football system. Russ, always great to chat. Look after yourself. Stay away from the buffet. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, fellas. Pleasure.